Well, church, most of you, many of you know by now, I love to watch these funny videos online. I consider it my love language. If you get a bunch of videos from me, just know I love you, right? Or if you get videos from me, just know it's because I care about your spiritual development. That's what it is, okay? And over the last couple of weeks, I've seen a bunch of videos in particular that just make me laugh every time I watch them. And these library videos, I don't know if you've seen these. What happens is, friends convince someone that the study rooms are soundproof, right? That you can yell in these rooms and no one will hear you. And they say, go ahead and scream. Nobody can hear you. And to prove it, they go in the room first, close the door, and scream. Person on the outside is like, wow. And they come out and they said, now you go in and try it. That person goes in, close the door, and just screams like crazy. Only to find out that everybody in the library can hear them. With friends like these, right? Now, that's funny. But I'm going to ask us to be what I'm going to call this morning, lamentations honest about something. That feeling of wondering if people can actually hear you. That's what prayer can feel like sometimes, right? Like you're in a room and you're saying the things that you're supposed to say, and all the while you're wondering, is anyone even actually hearing this that I'm saying? Oh, some of us, we haven't screamed, but we've prayed like it, right? I know I have. And so a question I'll ask you to consider to get us going together and connecting our story to the story of Jeremiah and his people in Lamentations 5, the question isn't so much about if we are praying the right way or using the right words. Here's the question I think is going to be important for us to begin with. What do we do when it feels like no one is answering our prayers? Over the last few weeks, we've seen that the prophet Jeremiah does not rush to any quick answers or quick solutions to what he's going through and what his people are experiencing. He sits right in the midst of his people's grief. He names their loss. He calls out what is broken. He is very specific about the things that are going on. And he remembers how things got this way to begin with. And truth be told, in our season 2, episode 4 kind of way of telling stories and hearing stories, by now, at the end of the letter, we would expect some tidy points to come together. We would expect that there would be some closure and maybe a few answers, and it'd be great if God could show up and fix everything in Lamentations and do it right before the next chapter or the next book of the Bible begins, which is Ezekiel, by the way. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. You'll remember that, right, church? Amen. But that's not what happens. Things don't get better. Nothing changes. And even the way the poem is written demonstrates this. Now, we don't see this in English. If you brought a Bible or you were following along, it's written as poetry and you see line by line, but we don't really see something else that's happening. The other four poems of Lamentation are written using a Hebrew alphabetical acrostic format, so that each line of the poem starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If it were English, the first line would start with A, the second one would start with B, C, and on down. And so it's almost like, in a way, this structure helps organize the grief and the anger that Jeremiah and his people are feeling and are experiencing through the first four chapters. But chapter 5 isn't written that way. There's 22 verses, and that corresponds to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, but there is no structure like the other four chapters. And so commentators have often wondered whether that is a sort of verbal clue to the heaviness and to the reality and the burden of Jeremiah's. Now, whatever reason this last chapter was written so differently, this last poem is a public and a communal cry for mercy. It's supposed to be something that everyone hears and that everyone joins together. Everything around God's people had collapsed. This wasn't just happening to Jeremiah or to a few people. Everything, everyone was torn apart. The temple, the city, Jerusalem, the monarchy, and even their identity as God's people has been crushed. Can you remember the last time you felt like you lost everything? Maybe not everything, but just enough to make it feel like everything. I think enough of us do. And so today I want us to remember something that Jeremiah says while he is still in the ashes of this great turmoil. Verse 19 takes a bit of a directional turn. Verse 19, the prophet says, "You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations." And what the prophet seems to be trying to hold on to, and what he seems to be trying to get everyone else to hear and to remember, both his people and maybe even us all these generations later, is to remember that just because everything else has fallen apart, it does not mean God has. That just because everything else has failed us, God has not failed us. And that's what makes the final part of Jeremiah's prayer important for anyone who has felt that their world has fallen apart. He screams out to God, "Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored." I'm asking you to think personally about experiences you've had and when you felt like things have been taken away from you and your life has been destroyed, when you fell down and you thought you'd never walk again, right? But I also want us to think about the experiences we have as a people. There are churches all over who are in decline these days. Attendance is down, people don't show up, there's no kids, nothing happening, the sermons are boring, all kind of stuff, right? And often, if we're lucky, if we have people who say, "Huh, this isn't right, let's do something," if we're good about that, what happens is people will say, "We got to do something." And they'll put a plan together, or they'll put some programs together. If they're Methodist, they'll probably put a committee together for their plans and their programs. And we come up with these ideas, praise God for ideas. But we come up with these ideas, these plans, and these programs, and say, "We're going to do these things, and we're going to see everything that will change." And so often we do these things, and nothing changes. I want you to compare that sense of just put a plan into place and everything will work out. Compare that to what Jeremiah prays. The prayer that he offers does not rely on any strategy other than trusting God. Does that mean we shouldn't do things? Of course not. We've been together long enough. You know we're going to do some things. But where does it start? It has to start with the reliance on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And that's what Jeremiah does. He says, "Restore to us, store us to yourself, O Lord." Right? And maybe he seems to understand something that we forget, that some things in life cannot be fixed from the outside. They can only be restored from the source itself. You see, Jeremiah isn't asking God, "Help us get it together. Bring all the young people. Bring all the children. Help us get our act together." Instead, he is saying, "God, bring us back to you." And that's where we have to start. Isn't that so funny? Sometimes we do this. We say, Lord, bring all them people back to us. But what we're supposed to say is, Lord, make sure we are with you first, please. We need to come back to God. A lot of times we want to make a deal with God, personally and as churches. Lord, do this thing and I'll come back. Anybody ever made that deal with God? Lord, if you'll just, I promise I'll. But what Jeremiah seems to have in his heart is the understanding that the transformation we need is not in the things that we can do. It's in God. Period. Jeremiah's hope in the ashes seems to be that if we will get back to God, everything else can begin to be made new again. But do not expect things to be new if you're not going to want to get back to God. Jeremiah might tell us. Don't expect things to turn around because you had some brilliant idea, but you haven't come back to God first. The transformation, the renewal that we need, that we are praying for, doesn't begin with you, sisters and brothers. It doesn't begin with me. It always begins and it ends with God. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and end. God is the one who has walked with us. Amen. God is the one who has not deserted us. Amen. God is the one whose goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Even all those days, we don't even bother to look back and notice it. Amen. God is the one who gives us power. God is the one. Amen. God is. Amen. Amen. And when we forget that as a church, we're going to find ourselves probably in ashes for a long, long time. Jeremiah knows this, of course. But even in knowing that, he finishes the book of Lamentations in a weird kind of way. In a strange or incomplete almost way. All those things he had to say, and even that great affirmation we just heard, restore us to yourself, O Lord. And then he ends this way. Unless you've utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. And that's it. That's the end of the book. The poem is over. Close it up. It's time to have lunch. There's no resolution. There's no neat conclusion. There's just this tension. Do this thing for us, God. Unless you're that angry with us. And I wonder if we're supposed to read that and think, wait a minute, you can't end a book like that. You ever watch one of the movies? You're like, that's how it's going to end? And I wonder if Jeremiah finishes that way because that's just how life feels sometimes, right? You don't get the answer. You don't get the bow around it to make it perfect and everything is right again. Some days, all you get is just another day. And you have to figure out what to do with what you're given. But even that strange ending, sisters and brothers, is a prayer. Jeremiah and God's people are still praying. Even after everything that they have been through, they are still talking to God, which means this: hope is still alive. Because people who have no hope stop praying. But Jeremiah and his people keep praying. And so this is where I want to bring our story together with their story this morning. On one hand, because we have seen what happens when it looks like the story is about to end, right? On one hand, we know what it feels like to look at something and think that this is the moment that looks like hope has run out. But the cross tells us hope has not run out, that the story was not finished. We know that. So forgive me, I wrote this down. I said, man, that sure does sound corny, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think maybe it might be helpful to think about those in-between moments where we find ourselves sometimes. Confusing, how can it be like this right now kind of moments. And say that maybe God does some of God's best work in that space that feels like the end, you know, when you're sitting in the ashes, and what becomes a beginning. That before the beginning happens, you're still in the ashes, you're in that moment, and that maybe it's in that space that God begins to do something profound in our hearts and in our lives. So let me ask you this, sisters and brothers. Where do you need restoration? Not a quick fix, but real restoration. In your heart, I know some of you need God to restore your joy because you're tired. You're not even tired. You're exhausted and overwhelmed. You need God to restore joy. I know some of you need relationships restored. Some things were said. Some promises broken. And you don't know if things can ever be right again. Only God can restore that. Some of us feel like we need God to restore our faith. But we don't feel close to God right now. We haven't felt close to God in a while. We remember when we did, but we don't now. I know some of us are carrying things that we haven't had a chance to scream out loud yet. Not in a library, but on the car ride to work or laying there at night. You haven't had a chance to lay it all out to God. Now, for me, those library videos are funny because the idea is that people don't think that others can hear them. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our prayers, that's not very funny, is it? And many of us feel like we wonder if God is hearing us, listening to us right now. I want to praise God because I know there are plenty of us who go through those seasons. We have those moments. We feel like that, but you know what? We show up anyway. Praise God. You show up, and even though you don't feel whole, even though you don't feel right, you're here. And no matter where you are, sort of in that spectrum of feeling the presence of God, being in the ashes or being in that moment before something new begins, I want to give you all the same encouragement. And the encouragement is simple. Pray in the ashes. Always. Not because you feel strong enough all the time, but because you know there is just a little bit of something in you that still believes God is listening. Always pray in the ashes. And I don't mean to tell you that your ashes aren't real, that your pain is not real. They are. The waiting is real. But so is this. God restores what is lost. God renews what is broken. There is nothing outside of the care of God that will not be redeemed in Jesus' name. So I want us to do what Jeremiah and his people did. Brother, would you show them that next slide, please? This is the prayer that they offer to God, and I'll be the leader, you be the people. How about that? And we'll go through this a couple times. And as we do, just think about the places where you need God to restore you. Think about the places where we need God to restore us. Restore us to yourself, O Lord. Restore us to yourself, O Lord.
That we may be restored.
Restore us to yourself, O Lord.
That we may be restored.
Think about your life. Think about the dreams you thought you had, the way things unfolded. Restore us to yourself, O Lord.
That we may be restored.
Think about the church, where we've wandered, what we've lost. Restore us to yourself, O Lord.
That we may be restored.
This is a prayer, sisters and brothers. This is a prayer that I can't promise you we'll fix everything tomorrow. I can't promise we'll set everything right as soon as you pray it. But I can promise you is a prayer that God hears. Restore us to yourself, O Lord.
That we may be restored.
Yes, Lord, restore us because we believe that you are not finished with us yet. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.